I think I'm going to start from the bottom line in Chof Gimel Amid Aleph, just to get because that's really where the issue starts. Tani Sada Shevir Shlish. Yeah. Okay. Tani Sada Shevir Shlish Livnei Goy, a field which grew a third in front of a goy. Then a Jew acquired from him. The seventh part of Akiva says that which grows additionally after in the hands of the Jew is exempt, because since the original initial third grew in the hands of a goy, it remains exempt forever. Chachamim say proportionally, whatever grew in the hands of the Jew is chayv and trumas u'maisros. Rabbi Avina v'ula bar Yishmael Shemri Lezer said, Av chachamim lo chibu ato seves el shavar. Even chachamim said that proportionally you have to take off from whatever grew in your hands, in the hands of a Jew, it goes by the year in which it brought the third grew. In other words, what maisers are given go by the year in which the third grew. Whereas if it grew a third in the second year, you give im mashimoya sheni sheni. If it grew a third in the second year, then you give maiser sheni ani ani. If it grew a third in the third year, then it goes give maiser ani. Despite the fact that Yisrael only took it over later on, maybe even the subsequent year, nonetheless the year is fixed by when it grew to a third of its growth. Tani learned. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosi Omer, Minay Latvu Shevia Shlish Livnei Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that grain which grew a third before Rosh Hashanah, of the Shemitah year, in other words, before Rosh Hashanah, before Shemitah commenced, that you're allowed to collect it during Shemitah. Now, it's how we know it doesn't receive the Shemitah parameters because it grew before Shemitah. Because, I'll tell you why. Tamulomer, because the Pasuk says, Avasaftos Tvuasa, you should gather its grain. There's a word missing here in the quote in the Gemara. Uvashon Ashvis. And in the seventh year as well. In other words, there's some times where you can even collect the grain in the seventh year. And one of the Kedusha of Shemitah. When's that? When it grew a third before Rosh Hashanah. So even though two-thirds of the growth are after Rosh Hashanah, and in Shemitah year, it still doesn't have Kedusha of Shemitah, so you can gather it as if it was not Shemitah. So that's what it means. You can gather also in the seventh year as if it didn't have Kedusha of Shemitah. Rabbi Avina v'ula barishma'ula barishma b'shem Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Lezer both said as Rabbi Yonasan be Rabbi Yossi, this statement name Rabbi Yossi Yonasan and the son of Rabbi Yossi goes b'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo, goes in the opinion or according to the lines of opinion of Akiva's Rebbe. Kemad Rabbi Akiva mar achash lish mishonato ma'alech, just like Rabbi Akiva said, you go after the first third, meaning, as we said earlier this evening, that the first third grew in the hands of a goy, then it remains exempt forever, and there's no proportion afterwards, right? So to over here, vis-a-vis Shemitah, we're saying a similar thing. Cain, Rabbi Enes, and Rabbi Yosi, Omer, Achash Lisha Rishna Malchi, go after the first third's growth. If the first third's growth is prior to Shemitah year, so there's no Kedusha of Shemitah on this grain. Okay? Amar Le Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Zira said. Oh, you don't have this, do you? You do have Amar Rabbi Zira? Okay, Amar Rabbi Zira Lavina. Rabbi Zira said to Ravina, Titan Mili Natun Amrin, you said two things. If you don't plead in the Hador Lador, and they argue on each other, there's a paradox. Hachat Sun Amrin, here you're saying, Avinu plead in I'm sorry. Hachat Sun Amrin. Yeah, Avchachomin lo chivu b'tosefes el shavar. That even Chachomim, who required the individual who bought the field from the goy after a third had grown, who required the grain proportionally to be tithe, they only mechayev el shavar. They only go after the previous year, meaning shemir sheni sheni. That if it grew the third in a second year, you give the second year's type of miser, which is miser sheni. If it grew a third in the third year, you give the third year's type of miser, which is miser oni, which means you go after when it grows the third. That's one thing you said. Vachatun amrin, yet here you say, as Rabbi Yonasan ben Yossi, Peshitta Sarvi Kiva Rabo Vukule. Yet it is saying that Rabbi Yonasan ben Yossi only goes in the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, in the Shita of Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi. It's not true. Even Chachamim will agree that you go by when it brings, by when it brings the Shlish. Why say it's only Rabbi Akiva? You yourselves, we know from previously that even Rabbanan also follow a third. It says that they only follow the third to the extent of determining to which year it's affiliated, not whether later on there's a proportional responsibility to take of Trumas and Maisers, based on the proportion which grew in your possession. But what fixes the year and the status of the grain? The third. So that's even going like Rabban. It's not just like Rabbi Akiva. Why do you say it's only Rabbi Akiva? Why'd you make such a statement? So this can even go like Chachamim. If you want to say Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yossi holds it like Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi exclusively, then it concerns the following statement. Come on, Rabbi Akiva, Amar, just like Akiva said, Isur Svichim, the prohibition on gathering. That which grows wild during Shemitah is Toira, is Mita Raisa, Ken Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Yossi Omer, so to Rabbi Yonasan, the son of Rabbi Yossi, says, Isur Svichim Toira, that the prohibition of gathering, that which grows wild during Shemitah, is a Daraisa prohibition. In that, he who follows Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva has a unique, philosophy that this is a Daraisa in the other area, which is that we follow the third in determining the status of the grain. That can mean going like Rabbani. Okay? Further, hey, via pachus mishlish livnei shvius. Along the lines of this statement, let's say that the stuff grew less than a third before Shemitah. V'nichnasa shvius, and the seventh year begins. Asura mishum svichim. Fascinating thing. You're not allowed to, there is a prohibition of that which grows during Shemitah on this, and you're not allowed to eat it, right? Because we according to the prohibition of svichim means that which grows wild in a field which is normally planted is prohibited. Yet at the same time, lo chola lekdusha shvius, it doesn't have the sanctity of the Shemitah year. Why is that? It was an amazing statement to an amazing thing. Mars made an amazing statement that Kavanaugh explains. The sanctity of Shemitah even devolves on animal fodder. Even on animal fodder. Its grain is suitable to be animal fodder even before it grew a third of its growth. When did this become animal fodder? Still before Rosh Hashanah. When become fit for human consumption after Rosh Hashanah. So it's Kedusha Shvius, whether it has a sanctity of Shemitah and you have to beer and all that kind of stuff on it, that's the term when it became animal fodder. Well, it became animal fodder before Shemitah began. So it doesn't have the sanctity of Shemitah. Yet whether it's forbidden because it's Svichim, because of wild growth in a field which is normally cultivated, that's determined by when it became suitable for human consumption. When it becomes suitable for human consumption? During the Shemitah year. So it doesn't have the sanctity of Shemitah, but it does have the prohibition on human beings eating it. And the converse of that is, he explains, Shemikvar you are sovereign, it already was grass, meaning animal father, before Shemitah begins, v'lochol enkdush shvius, and never doesn't get the sanctity of the Shemitah year. Now, the converse of that is, via pochus mishlish of neshminis, it grew to less than a third before the onset of the eighth year. V'nichnas ha-shminis, and the eighth year begins, muteris mishum svichim, there's no problem of svichim in that case. Why is there no problem speaking? Because it grew to a third of its growth, which is when it's suitable for human beings during the eighth year. But b'chol l'kedusha shvius, since it became suitable for animals to eat during the seventh year, so it does have kedusha shvius. It does have the sanctity of the Shemitah year.
Does it matter on the intent of the farmer who's growing it for animal fodder versus?
No, it seems not. Seems it's absolute, not subjective. Right. Seems it's absolute. What?
That's different than what
usually say. Could be. But Kedusha Shvius being a Daraisa, these are that would only be by the Rabbanim. By the Daraisas would be absolute. Okay, they're usually the intents of the Rabbanim. So many of the things in Maisos and Trumas and all the Daraisas, it's Daraisas, so therefore that doesn't follow that. Okay, Itmar. Rabbi Yechon, we are on Chav Gimel and Beis. You don't have Itmar. I have Itmar. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon Shimon Lakish. I guarantee we'll start after 9:30. We didn't start early. 8th, okay?
Well, when we started from the beginning of
it? We started from Chol Gimel Amud Aleph at the bottom. Yeah. That's why I'm saying that. I backtracked a little, but we are a little further ahead. But right? You came after 9:30. He was here doing the crossword puzzle for 9:25. But okay, Itmar. You don't have Itmar again. Rabbi Yechon Mishlagish Tarvai and Armin. They both said, this is going back to the song which we said earlier this evening. Do consider Rabbi Kiva, Besidon Shoshanim, that in terms of the years, Shema Yosheni, Sheni, Ani, Ani, in other words, that you always go by the year in which the third grew, and not by the year in which the Jew takes possession, but rather when it reached the third. I'm Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon said, the bottom line is that Hefker, if a Jew takes hold of something after it had been Hefker, when it reached the third of its growth. Or Hektish, a Jew redeems a field when if it had been Hektish at the time that it grew to the third of its growth. Or Syria, a Jew acquires a field in Syria from a guy after it had grown a third of its growth. Machlokas Rabbi Kiva Chachamim, that's what Rabbi Kiva says, it's exempt forever. Chachamim says proportionally. Whenever you buy it, you have to take Trumas and Mitzvahs of whatever the proportion of the growth occurs within your hands. In other words, if you buy it, when it's 3/8 grown, which is more than a third, then you have to take off how much Meiser from this proportionally? 5/8, exactly. And so on and so forth. Okay? Amrei Shimon Lo, Shimon Lo, he said, Mod Rabbi Akiva Chachomim Bechenet V'Ashrosha. Rabbi Akiva Ketzitz Chachomim in terms of trees which follow budding, that's called chanata, and in terms of rice and millet, which follow hashrasha, where they take root, which means that they go by meiser vis-a-vis when they budded by a tree, and when they took root according to rice and millet. So now Rabbi Akiva says, you can see the chachamim, let's say you bought the tree from the guy, after chanota, before it grew a third. After chanota, after bought it, before it grew a third. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we don't say. Rabbi Akiva says, if you buy it after it brought a third, after it grew a third, for sure you remain exempt. That was Rabbi Akiva. It can concede if you bought it after, before it grew a third, even though it's after chanota, and chanota budding determines the year of Meisr that it is, you're still chayev. Okay? You only accept you bought it after it grew to a third. And so too by the rice and millet, if you grew it after it took root, you bought it after it took root, nonetheless, you have to take off Trumas and Meisr from it, proportionally again, because the only time the Jew who buys it or redeems it from Ekdish or sees it from Ekdish exempt, even according to Rabbi Akiva, is if he took possession after it grew to a third of its growth, not at one of the prior stages. Okay? Chav Dalet Amud Aleph at the top. Zorah B'churva.
You can estimate a third growth of a bud
of the fruit. Of the fruits. Yeah, they knew. Well, what do we know? Yeah, well, what do you know? The Bronx, they had trees. The drugs grow on trees in the Bronx, yeah. Okay? A tree grows in Brooklyn. The Bronx. No trees, right. So, Zara v'churba. If somebody planted in a churba, now, this is amazing halacha. This is amazing halacha. I had no idea this is true. Neither did you. None of you. Okay? Stuff which grows inside a house is exempt from Trumas and Meisers. Yeah. So anything which grows in a hothouse is exempt from Trumas and Meisers. Yeah. Even Eretz Yisrael. That's what it says. I don't mean Rabbana, maybe it's Chayiv. I don't know. But Midoraisa, it's all exempt. Well, yeah, that's not why. But that's a nice, it's a good svara, right? Okay, A for creativity. But it's learned out from some pasuk. I don't know which pasuk it is. Hayoyti Asod. Yeah, he brings down from Dvarim Tesvav. Hayoyti Asod. It's got to be grows on the field. So it's amazing. Halacha zara b'chor grew in a ruin. It meaning no roof, right? Veviyishli she grew third out under the open sky. The sike chagaba, and then he put a roof over it. Al daitid Rabbi Akiva, skorn Rabbi Akiva, hatosef es chayev. Whatever grows now under the roof is chayev. Why? Because lamaisa. This is the converse of what we said before. A grown Rabbi Akiva, third grew out in the open. That's it. It's chayev for all time, right? Whatever continues to grow still becomes chayev. The point of chayev was reached in a chayev situation and now remains chayev, period. Al-daited rabbanon, grown rabbanon, though, hatosef is potter. If you grew 3/8 and then you covered it, and then you continue to grow, of how much of it do you have to take off the Trumas Samaritans in this case? The opposite. It grew 3/8 in the open, and then you covered it for the last 5/8. You only take off on the 3/8. That's right. Okay, the flip side of what we said before. Zara b'bayis. Now, what happens if you planted in the house and then you took it off after it grew a third? Right. In other words, it grew a third under the roof. Al daitin the rabbanon Rabbi Akiva corner Rabbi Akiva after seven spots. That's it. At the third, it was exempt, remains exempt. Al daitin the rabbanon corner rabbanon after seven chayiv. That which grew out in the open is chayiv, and there the 5/8 would be chayiv because it grew out in the open. Okay, amazing halacha. Avachala. Is that what you have next? Abachala came machlokas. It's a question. Abachala came machlokas. What about bechala? By kneading the dough, day of chala, does that also have to do with is something which grew under a roof exempt from chala? That's the Gemara's question. In other words, you grew your grain in a hot house, and then you cook it home and you kneaded it. So is it exempt from chala or not? So Gemara basically boos this out of the box. Mad boy, Rabbi Akiva. Who are you asking from? Rabbi Akiva? The Akiva mer peres chutzor chenichlus ularetz chayav mechala. Rabbi Akiva never looks at the way it grows. He even says if you bought grain like they do nowadays in Israel, you bring grain from chutzor tzeretz Yisrael, it's chayav mechala. So we see we don't look at how it grows at all. We just look at how it's kneaded together, right? Says Mar in Yisbar Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Lezer Yosam Makshe. The truth is, we're Rabbi Akiva's old Rabbi Lezer. We haven't seen who holds that Chala also is contingent on where it grows. So then Taki would ask a good question, but it's not a good question the way he asked. Now, therefore, I don't have to deal with it. Goodbye. Vaiter. Rabbi Bumbarachia Ba Kun Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Bumbarachia asked for Rabbi Zira. Zorab Ati Shader Nokum. Similar idea. You planted in a pot which was not pierced. So therefore, it's not a chayv and trumas amaisus. V'nikvo. And you only pierce it after it grew a third. Omar Leis, it said, hachshav nikev. It only pierced now, right? It's exempt till now. So it's not chayv. Rabbi Yovan, Rabbi Avin said. Further, I said that Rishon Gamliel, b'shitas Rabbi Gamliel's keno. It's actually a new sugya. I should have made a stop. Rabbi Avin is a new statement, period, okay? A period before Rabbi Avin, actually. Rabbi Avin. Rishon Gamliel was in our Mishnah. Rishon Gamliel said that the only time you become chayv and trumas amaisus is not if you bought grain, but if you also bought the land on which the grain grows. Which does seem poshut, but I guess by them it's a chiddush. The only chayv and trumas amaisus is that the grain grows in your land, not just the grain grows wild. Right, as they're about to learn, exactly. No. Share crop on a goat's land is exempt. Somebody's chayv, yeah. Right. Probably the owner, right. Share crop takes all four. Okay. To Tzniyat Tamon, we learned over there, Yisrael Shul Yuarisim Lagoyim Syria, this case, right? A Jew was a sharecropper for a Goy in Syria. Rabbi Lezer, Mechai Peresin, Lemaitzos, Lutshvias. Rabbi Lezer says, even though you don't own the land, since you're a sharecropper, you own the fruit, that's sufficient to be Mechai of you. Rabbi Gamliel, Poitzer Gamliel exempts you because you don't own the land. Period. Rabbi Yoim Revachuli, do you have this header? No. No, no, we still have four, five words. Rabbi Omer Elfi Cheshbon Al Rosha. That's what Gamliel said. Rabbi said he go by proportion. He's going back on the ratio. In other words, that's just what Chachamim say, that it grew 3/8 or 5/8 in the hand of a Jew. So that's how you take on the Maaser. Rosha is the same as we say in Hebrew, in Aramaic Reisha. It's going back on the Reisha of the Mishnah. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah, right? Hamatami. How many? We already did one block tonight, right? Same two block. Same hard. Same day. Two block by Marv. Hamatami Venosa Mayim Bemida. Somebody who. This is, I don't know exactly how to translate this in English, but it's a process which appears throughout Shas. You take the dregs of the wine and you put water in them. So the various different things which can happen. The water either gets the color of the dregs at a minimum, or the water actually gets the substance of the dregs, it becomes heavier, flavor, or the water actually ferments and becomes an alcoholic beverage as a result. So any of these three things can happen. And we're going to discuss them now. Hamatami Vanessa Mayim Bemida. Somebody who made this temet and he put water in by measure. Umatsuki de Midasa. And then he took out the same amount of water as he put in. The water which he poured in, the same amount came out, no more. Potter, it's exempt for taking off maestros. Because there's no substance in the water. It's not to be chayv and trumas and maizos. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Mechayv. Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that it takes on the color is sufficient to give it the status of the wine and therefore have to take off trumas and maizos on that temet.
Why would you expect them to have more water coming out?
Because some of the dregs get in, some of the substance.
Sure.
You put in, say, three measures of water, and you got up four measures, which means that a substantial portion of the dregs got into your water, so then, Based, let's say again, that case, you had three and you got four. So, which is a quarter on the outside, a third on the inside. So, you have to give trumas and maizos on that additional measure of one over what you put in from someplace else in order to take off maizos because it's considered to be mechayev because it's a bona fide addition to the water. Okay, let's go to the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo said, Sunday said his name Rabbi Lozer. Vuhu. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says that if you get in exactly what you put in, get out exactly what you put in. Vushachmitz. The only time he said you take off maizers, and that's now as if it also fermented. And not just the color change, but also ferment occurred. Says the Gemara. Okay, it's about today we learned over there. Hatemen atchulov in the chmitz. Temet before it ferments. Any because of miser can't be bought with miser shiny money in Yerushalayim. It's not a food, it's just water. Upalsa mikvah, and if it falls to mikvah, even though it has the color of the grape dregs, it does it pass the mikvah because it has status of water. Mishaichmitz, once it's fermented, Nika because of miser can require miser shiny money because it's considered to be a foodstuff. Made a puzzle to mikvah, and it also does not make the mikvah puzzle because it's no longer status of drawn water, has the status of a beverage of temet. Masnisa the Rabbi Yehudai. This the brisa must be like Rabbi Yehuda. Why it must be like Rabbi Yehuda? Because it sounds like as long as it's just fermented, that's sufficient. The tznidon we learned. And that's like we learned over here. If you made temet, and you put in water by measure, and you took out exactly what you put in, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev, right? You meisters. So they said name one of them, something to the other one, Vushechmit, as long as it fermented. So we see as long as it ferments, regardless of how much or how little in this case I should say, it altered the substance, as long as it alters the color and ferments, that's sufficient. So that's why it must be that even if all you did was get a different color and somewhat different fermentation, that's enough to buy with my sushani money in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yisrael said, no, they were kol, you can even go in like Rabbanan. Shekein afilu mei melech nikachim b'kes ha-maiser. The parameters of working with my sushani money doesn't have to be so stringent like other things. And what's the proof of that pudding? Salt water is a valid acquisition for Miser Sheni money. It's also considered a foodstuff. Hi, the salt gets completely absorbed in the water. Nonetheless, it's considered to be a foodstuff. That suffices. It's not plain Jane water. So to here, as long as the tamid fermented, even Karabona, I can use Miser Sheni to buy money to buy it because it's no worse than salt water. By the way, for you, we learned a very important thing. Salt water is considered foodstuff. So you want to make an Erev Tchumen and put food 2,000 amos from the city, you're allowed to use a little bit of salt water. Enough salt water for two meals. You know how much salt water you need for two meals?
Not much.
You stole my line. Thanks. Okay. Says more further.
What if the salt water falls in a mikvah? Is that considered shuvah?
Yeah, because that's a different parameter. It's not the same thing like Miser Sheni. There, it's considered to be shuvah. Says more further. Mal motzi. Very interesting, and the truth is I was not properly precise in teaching the Mishnah. Mal motzi, from this tamid, what do you take out? Meisers. You only take a meiser. Ha truma lo, but not truma. Why not? Because it's near, we learned Shatorim, the person, since truma has no shear, the guy took of truma initially on the wine and the dregs, Belibo, he had in mind, ala kitin. Kitin means the stuff which breaks out, falat stadim, now which is on the side, mashu tochet heaven, and wherever you have stuff which remains in the hay, in grain. So, that also he had in mind, take truma off of, v'tayilo, we learn concerning that, vala zogin, also on the grape skins. So the initial truma covers any subsequent product at any stage in the process, including the temed. Okay? Going back to the Mishnah. Fourth line down. Cholrei hanemolim, ant holes. Shalona b'tzareim, which are next. Not A-U-N-T. Ant holes. A-N-T. Ant holes. Which were next to a pile of grain. Now, the pile of grain is chayevis. Pile of grain, which is chayev in Meisters. He brings down scenarios where you made a pile and you intend to take it to the marketplace so you can no longer snack on it, right? So all the grain which is in the ant hole is also chayev, because we assume they took from the ant hole, right? It's clear they took from this all the entire night. Okay, that's where they got all the stuff in the ant hole. All right, let's go to the Gemara. Tapachav Hamanav. Hamreah Mimareah Kerah Shachaveru Shalomi Daitoi. Okay, we'll see how it ties into our mission in a moment. I do me ruach, I smooth out your pile without asking your permission. Okay? Rav Yochanan Mar Tov, Nitbal, becomes tavli, no longer allowed to snack. Rish Lakish Mar Lo Nitbal. They're still out the snack. It's not devil. Now the Kavanaugh, he says he didn't find anybody who explained this machlokas anywhere. He says that the machlokas is whether ein adam oser dover shein or shalo applies here. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan says that which he says ein adam oser dover shein or shalo is I worshipped your cow, so I can't oser your cow and make it avodah zarah because you don't want that to happen. But here anyway, you would have made me ruach tomorrow, right? So the fact that I made it day earlier, it doesn't mean it's not a valid miruach. It's still a valid miruach. That's how he interprets this line. Okay? In Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, Reish Lakish holds, nonetheless, even though you might have done it tomorrow, today it didn't want to do it, so today I can't aser and I can't make miruach effective on your grain, only on my own grain, not on yours.
Didn't we have the in bodily, he did it from the ship?
That was his own stuff. Zone. Yeah, not someone else's. Okay? Reish, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. He changes the girsa here. Okay? In the Gemara it says, Meis Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. He has Meis Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, but then we learn, Noshim Shenosnu Lenachtom Lasus Lem Sar. Women gave their dough to a baker in order to ferment it. Right, sour means to make it sourdough. If none of them gave him enough grain that was chayv already in challah, so it continues to be exempt in challah. So ask the Gemara. Once the baker brought them all together, that should be mechayim, because that makes it all one big kneaded substance, right? And that should be enough to be mechayim. So the Gemara is quite, but it's not. So Rish Lakish says, this is a raya to me. Why is it a raya to me? Because it's a raya that tevel can only be created with the intent of the owner. And here, since the women didn't intend, only the baker put it together, so then it can't become tevel. So that's why it's still exempt from challah. It's a raya to me. So says Gemara, oh, no, Rabbi Yehon said it's not a raya to you. Amar Lehi say, you know why it's not a raya for you? Shekena osa isa manas l'chal kol isos p'tura mina challah. Because anytime I make a dough, with the intent to divide it up into smaller batters, it remains exempt from challah. So too remains exempt from challah, because eventually the baker's going to take them all apart again and redistribute them. That's why it remains exempt from challah, right? Amar Lehi, so Rish Lakish continues to ask the question. You don't have Amar Lehi, right? So he says, V'atina nachtam sh'asasar l'chalik. Chaya b'chala. It says, a baker who made sourdough to distribute is chaya v'chala. So we see that that's not true. We see that even if it's made to break up again, it's still chaya v'chala. Amar Lehi, so he said, don't ask me a kasha from a baker. Nachtom, a baker, lo b'daito dovertoli, it's not that he tends to break it up. Depends on what kind of customers he gets. In other words, he might break it up, he might not break it up, right? If he gets a large customer, he'll give the whole batch to that one customer. If he gets several customers, he'll give it to several customers. That's why, if he makes a large batch, it's takachayev. Even if he has my potential to divide up later on. Since he also would be willing to sell it to a large customer who came, so it becomes susceptible to challah immediately.
Also here, he started out with one big glob of dough. He didn't get it from...
Yeah, but we're still asking on technicality, because the other price, it says that Esau, Medes, Lechalik is exempt. Regard, it doesn't give any parameters, as long as it can be divided up. This is a Chiddush that we give the various different parameters. Okay? Says more about Tanina. Now we get back to our sugya. Then we learn Chori Agamalim, Shalonu Bitzad Arema, Hachayeves. Then we learn, well, that where is the stuff in the antel chayev when it was next to pouch? It's already chayev harei l'chayavin. That refers habitzad harema p'tura p'turin. But what happens if it was next to a pile which is exempt? What's a pile? It's a pile which is exempt where it wasn't yet gemar melacha. So then, if the ants took it back to their ale, it remains exempt. How could this be? It's a kasha on Reish Lakish, because according to kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the ants should be able to make miruach. When they gather in their hole, that should be miruach. Now it says, the Kavanaki asks, what kind of miruach is that? There's no such miruach. And that means smoothing the pile, but the ants are smoothing piles here. So it says another kind of miruach. It brings them from the Rambam. That miruach, this is what your Rebbe taught you. Right, winnowing.
Well, we had it in
Shami
also.
Yeah, we had it in Shami also, but I remembered because you told us that your Rebbe taught it to you. So that's the other type of miruach, where you separate the grain from the chaff. And ants, they're smart critters. They ain't taking chaff. They're only taking the grain, and that's why they're actually being acting miruach. So it's kach Rabbi Yochanan, let the miruach of the ants be valid miruach. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avo. Technically, you're right. Why in that case not miruach? Because there, whatever's in the ant hole, I give up hope of ever getting back. So therefore, it's like miruach of hefker. And miruach of hefker, taka, is exempt. It doesn't make it chayv and miser. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba said a different answer. Same idea, though. It's about dumb ants. They took it in the chaff. So there was no miruach, right? Because they didn't winnow it. Okay? Masiv, now let's change gears again. Masiv, Rabbi Yochanan Reish, Lo Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Akasha. But what did we learn? Hekdeshon Achlo Nigmaron, if you're Makdish grain before the Miruach, Ugmar and Gizbar, and then the Gizbar, the treasure of Hekdesh, did Miruach, Vachaka Padon, and then you redeem them, Piturin, it remains exempt for Chumus and Maisres, Vachay Gizbar Ke'erka Acheru. No, the Gizbar is like somebody else. It's not his grain. Yet you say that his miruach is val miruach. And therefore, in this case, the miruach exempts for all time. Because the miruach was done by a gizbar. Why is the miruach of the gizbar effective? He doesn't own it. Says Mar Amalei Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says it's different. Tipater, command, Amar, gizbar, kibaylim. This is going to be that a gizbar, when he has it, is like an owner. Would look Rabbi Yossi, now look Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Omar gizbar, who gizbar acher? Rabbi Yossi says a gizbar at the treasure of Ekdesh is not like an owner. We see here that he is considered to be an owner. Okay? We'll stop here for Mar, if you guys can stay for time. I know we did already. Too blind. But if you can stay for comments after Mar, we'll hop around another blot. Okay? Just 5-10 minutes. Right now we're on Chof Ham and Beis. Beis Rabbi, we just said Rabbi Chanina Chavrun de Rabbanan, which is at the two dots. We only have one dot. Chinuch Chavrun de Rabbanan, it's 3, 6, 8 lines down. Now, this seems to be his title all over the place. Rabbi Chanina Chavrun de Rabbanan, the friend of the rabbis. Because he already had early in the Masech the same title, Chavrun de Rabbanan. That was like his purpose, his title. So Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, asked the following question. Boy, v'afil yesh b'shalachas man kashir? He asked the... he changes the girsa from what you have. Wait a second. You have by affiliation bekulam kashir, right? Even if in all of them there's a shear. But he, the Kavanoka changes affiliation achas man kashir. Now the question is going back to the women who all gave the dough into the baker. And it said there that if one of them has a shear, then that one is chayv and challah. So he's asking, even if one of them has a shear challah, why is it chayv and challah? Yeah, sekadav shlo nigmar malachta v'yeh potter. So she's going to have to re-knead it after it's fermented, because it hasn't yet even been fermented properly, so why is it already chayv and challah? It sounds like the fermenting of the baker makes it irrevocably for that woman who had enough dough to be chayv and challah, chayv and challah. She's going to have to re-knead it anyway, right? It's going to have to be separate and re-kneaded, so why is it chayv and challah already? Yes, HaKadov Shalom Nigmar HaMalach to Yepoter. She remained exempt as if it wasn't finished. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak b'shem Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yitzchak said name Rabbi Zira. And Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Zira both said b'shem Rabbi Lazar. Af ma'ashe login lo nitpam nei shu ozi lach zero. L'dom shlo nigam ram malachto. This is like we had earlier in the Masechta. If you have, you scooped up a ladle full of wine from your bar, you're allowed to snack on it and it doesn't become kavur because you can always put it back. Right? So too here. You know, as long as they don't add hot water, we went back there. So too here. It's going to go back, and when it goes, we're going to go back to her, and it's not, and she hasn't yet finished working with it. So it shouldn't be chayev in challah, even once it's fermented. Mora doesn't answer the question. Let's go back to the Mishnah, to the next sugya. Okay? Back to the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amud Beis, the fifth line down. Shum Baal Bechi. In the right place, Mrs. Zuger? Yeah. Back to the Mishnah, right? You there? Okay. Shum Baal Bechi, the garlic of Baal Bechi, who butzel and the onion of Sharachba of Rachba, these are places. Or grease now Kilkilin, beans from Kilkilia, Vadosh and materials and Egyptian lentils, right? They're all exempt from Trumas. We assume they're exempt from Trumas Mises because they came from Chutz Laretz. They don't normally grow in Israel. Remer afakirkas, another type of vegetable. Rabbi Yezi, remer afakutnim, another type of vegetable, because we assume they grow in Hefker, so therefore they're exempt. They're all exempt to remin amaisrus, because we assume they grew either chutzorts or Hefker. But nikachim kohen mishvis, you can buy it from anybody in Shemitah, because we assume they're not Shemitah fruit. Zera luf ha'elyon, the seed of the luf plant, v'zera krishin, and the seed of the leek plant. Zera b'tzoyim, the seeds of onions. Zera lefis, the seeds of turnips and snonos and radishes. V'shayz yiron again, and any other type of garden vegetable seed. Shein elchayim, which are not eaten, they're not edible. P'turim min ha'maiser, they're exempt from maiser. Nikolim klon shviz, and therefore you're allowed to buy from anybody in Shemitah. Because vafa b'shavi and truma, even though they came from a fruit which was originally truma. Nonetheless, harei liyochul, they can eat, because these themselves are not seeds which have to do with truma. Okay, let's go back to the Gemara. Tanya, Ezu shum baal bechi. What is the onion of baal bechi? What does it look like? Kol she'en lo l'dor echad maki v'zomud. Only has one row around a middle axis. Don't ask me exactly what this means, but somehow it has a special shape to it. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, kol she'en lo kipach, any garlic which only has a single husk. Ezu batzel sherikwa, what's a rikpa onion? Kol she'ukto nimshach, anyone which has a long stem. Anyone whose stem bends into itself. Shingam Leomer Kosha Ainlo Eris, any onion which doesn't have a sharpness, like a Spanish onion, right? Doesn't have a sharpness to it. Ailin Agrisakil, what are beans of Kilkalin? Ailum Rubin, these are square beans. Now here we go into a god, it's a tangent. I forgot, I want to look up some sort of guy. I really didn't get a chance. I'm sorry. Tai Shingam Leomer and Meruba Mishesh Mayration. There's nothing in creation which is four-sided. Nothing in creation is four-sided. Nothing was created four-sided. I wanted to look at it to see what the significance of that is. Three-sided things, five-sided things, no four-sided thing, no squares.
No squares or rectangles?
No squares or rectangles. Okay, that's what it says. Also, Rabbi Rechi said, how can you say this? But we learn Gufashel Braheris, the way an affliction looks in Saras is Kigris HaKilkili Meruba, like a square Kilkili bean. On Rabbi Sin said, listen to the way it's not a question. Kol Garma, the entire essence of this matter, a Garma in Hebrew is Etzem. So it's like Etzem HaDavar, the essence of this matter. Amr Lesim Ruba teaches that the bean is not square. Lamatin Tnina the Arbanohu. It says the Baharis is like a square Kilkali bean. So it sounds like Kilkali beans aren't square. This one, he happened to square off. Right? You make a square around it. Ask Marvanana, mint is square? A mint leaf? It's not, right? Mara says it's not. Says Mara, Mole Kutrin. It's full of little knots in it. It's where it's not square. Va'aniva depila, another type of bean, which looks square. It says Maragol milamatan has a round side. Viz de boy lememar. There are those, however, want to say lo amar shingamliel ben gamliel el bebrios. Shingamliel didn't mean there aren't plants which are four-sided, but rather that there are no animals which are four-sided. I don't know what a four-sided animal is, but there are no four-sided animals. I don't know. So it's a good time for a Far Side cartoon. I don't know exactly what it is, but that's what it says here. Okay, Tanya, we learned Eloi Nadosha Mitzirus, what are Egyptian lentils? Kosha Galein Chadin, the ones which have sharp lips. Gal is literally around, you know, normally smooth, this one's sharp. Rabbi Shingam Liamer Kosha Nimotros, ones which don't grow with pebbles. In other words, they grow very clean.
So all these things are.
All these are chutzlarts.
Well, I understand, but the way they describe them, though, they describe them as these are characteristics of it rather than it comes from a particular place.
Right, these are characteristics, but this is how you know they came from that place. It has to be that way. Elo and Akirkos, what's Akirkos, Kosha, Uksem, Mulotim, Wanda Shef, few stems, Valkatem, Rubin, and many seed pods. Ma Damile, what's similar to it, Rabbi Yosef said, Kigon Ulein, Kunaitsa, another type of bean which is similar, Kunaitsa, have a good night.